TheDigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, Show 129, Thursday, November 1st, 2007. TheDigitalLifestyle.com with The Digital Show with tech.co.uk. Rich at tech.co.uk sponsoring the show, and check out their site from the banner on digitallifestyle.com. And this week on the show, Pete Stagman, Microsoft MVP, talks about his home theatre user group in Boston and how he's been introducing Media Center to IT professionals via the user groups. I have also got news items and a couple of forum threads that I wanted to highlight. Welcome to the show. First to the forums on digitallifestyle.com. I wanted to mention the forums because this is a great place to communicate with other Media Centre Show listeners, and I really do like the idea of building a community around the show, so this is a place to go. And this thread was on performance of music that I thought I'd highlight the problems of add-ins for Windows Media Player. Alex posted a thread that he turned on the crossfading on his Windows Media Player and was not getting a smooth transition between tracks, and sometimes it was pause and stutter. And the crossfading is where you can sort of the music continually plays when you're so rather than one track finishing and the next one starting, there's a nice crossfade. It's a nice feature, but he was getting problems with it. And after a suggestion from another forum user to turn off enhancements, Alex found it was actually a problem with the DFX audio enhancements he was using and a mismatch with the user interface, DFX user interface. So after correcting that version, the problem is gone. So it shows here that it's always worth looking at third-party add-ins before you look at things like network issues or hard disk issues and defragging your hard disk if you get these kind of audio glitches. It's definitely worth looking at those. And I wonder sometimes what the benefit is of these third-party plugins is for Windows Media Player. If you're a user of those and you find some that are particularly useful, let me know. It's Ian at thedigitallifestyle.com. I'd be interested to hear your take on that. And if you have any problems with the third-party plugins, follow the thread and have a look to see if you can put your comments on there as well. Now, another interesting thread from Rec in the forums, it wanted to record four channels simultaneously over a full weekend for on-demand playback. So basically, he's got two black gold tuners for four recordings at once, using the little registry hack to enable the two cards and the dual recordings. And he said he's got enough disk space to be able to record all this. What he wants to do is to record four channels simultaneously for, say, the whole weekend. But is there an easy way of doing this? If you go through the guide, you can obviously pick every program and set every program to record. But that's not going to... That's a time-consuming way of doing through it. You've got to go through every one. Of course, the other thing you can do is just say record 8 a.m. to midnight or whatever. Again, that's going to have one big file and not have the separate programs to record. So the question was, is there a way to do this with a script using something like the click to record API? And my guess is that it could be done, but there's nothing around this already. Have a look at the thread. It's on the digitallifestyle.com. The Media Center Show Award nominations are still open, so if there's a Media Center plugin, add-on, or a community that you want to highlight, please head over to the nominations page on ListAs, that's Microsoft's new live list service. Add your nominations on there, you can edit the list, add your nominations, or you can send them in to ian@thedigitallifestyle.com and I'll amend the list. So we'll get a couple more weeks with the list up, and then the vote page will be up. Once the vote page is up, you won't be able to nominate anything else, so please get your nominations in now before the vote page goes up. A link for that in the show notes. Last Friday, I attended an open day for Microsoft MVPs, and as well as being presentations from Microsoft employees on different technologies. There was also presentations from other MVPs. Media Center developer Andrew Cherry, who interviewed on Show 120, presented an introduction to developing Media Center applications, which acted a good crowd. Some were there just to see what this Media Center thing is, but after watching the presentation, I think they were very impressed with the potential of the platform and left with a real interest in Media Center development. Andrew had a great presentation going from Hello World to a full music browser, step by step, and showing how it's possible to produce great looking applications using existing .NET skills. The problem seemed to be that the developers didn't know how extensible Media Center was and didn't know that you could even do any kind of cool development with Media Center as a platform. So Andrew showing off his presentation has definitely got a few new developers on board, and it'd be great if the presentations like this could reach the wider development community. I think we'd have more Media Center developers writing great plugins for us. The presentation should be online soon, so keep an eye on the blog for details on that one. On the home server front, I was impressed with Tranquil PC's Windows Home Server when I saw it at the Vista After Hours event a few weeks ago. I was even more impressed when I found out that Tranquil are based about 5 minutes down the road from my office in Manchester. So I've nipped over to Tranquil and managed to borrow a machine for a video review, and it's a 1 terabyte fanless Windows Home Server that I've got. So I did an interview with them as well, which will be coming out on the show in a couple of weeks, and I should have a video out showing the Tranquil Windows Home Server PC out soon. It's a really nice looking machine, and if you have a look at the link, I posted a picture of it next to my Xbox 360, and you'll see how small it is. And finally, Stephen Harding's released a new version of Emu Center. Emu Center lets you launch your classic games from Media Center by using arcade emulators such as MAME, all done through the Media Center interface. And it's a great looking application. So if you like your arcade games, yeah, you can download this from Stephen Harding's community site. Developers should also check out Stephen's developer blog on thedigitallifestyle.com. He's got some great background how he developed the application, and it's a nice looking application too. So have a look at that. Time for a break now from show sponsors One Voice, and I'll be back with Pete Stagman.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on OneVoice's Media Center Communicator, MCEach Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. OneVoice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Pete Stagman, welcome to the Media Center Show.
Good morning, Ian.
Pete, you're an MVP and a member of various groups, and we sort of got chatting on the Media Center MVP forum, and I thought it would be good today to get sort of your thoughts on Media Center and how you got into Media Center and some of the issues around that and home theater and that kind of things. So before we dive into that, first, could you give us a bit of background on yourself?
Sure. I started out in the Windows Server world. I was kind of a geek. I actually started out in the Army, and I was doing computer repair on Apache helicopters in the Army. I only did that.
It's a bit different from Media Center.
That's a bit different, yeah. But that's actually where I got my my computer skills. I got out of the Army. I did my time and I got out. Believe it or not, I raced motorcycles for a while. After a bad accident, I decided, maybe I should get back to that computer stuff. So got into the Windows Server world. Had a couple of jobs working in a few banks, after working in the banks, I decided that I'm not cut out for the suit and tie kind of thing. Went to work for a couple of small consulting companies, and that's where actually I discovered home theater. At the time, you know, I had just a plain old TV and, you know, lived off a cable. So I just, you know, kind of lived off a cable and working for a company who the guy on the side did home theaters. Started getting into that and, you know, learned about surround sound and, you know, plasma TVs, you know, which were at the time, you know, a 40-inch plasma TV was like $12,000. So that was out of anybody's budget. As I was telling you earlier, I was trying to talk my wife into buying a TiVo, and she wanted nothing to do with it. So I started searching around. I said, you know, this is basically just a Linux box. Somebody has got to have made one of these things. I found Myth TV. I played with Myth TV for probably about a year. The problem that I had with Myth TV was that if I wasn't home and something went wrong, I would get 1,000 phone calls from my wife.
Right, yeah. It's that kind of... This is one of the fundamental things, isn't it? That it's great having a system that you can manage yourself, but, you know, if the family can't use it, then it's just, it's no good.
Yeah, and the problem with my wife is she's a button masher. You know, if something goes wrong, she just whacks buttons until it tries to work again, you know?
Not so good in a Linux command line environment.
No, not at all. And it was actually shortly after this that I first heard about Media Center, and this was with the Media Center 2002 version, the Media Center XP. And I started playing around with that. I had a second machine. I still had my Myth TV machine, but I had my Media Center machine also, and I was playing with that. And I said, you know what? You know, this thing, I don't think it does, you know, most of what Myth TV can do, but it's real simple. So I swapped it out with the Media Center with the Myth TV, set it up to work there. And, you know, if something went wrong, it was real simple. My wife could, you know, click on it and say, reboot the machine. That was it. I mean, she was just like, do not put that Myth TV back here.
There's a real change, isn't there, going from a non-Media Center platform to Media Center. Now that I had some TV cards with their own sort of proprietary software in there,
right?
And it was one of those things that, you know, I could keep running, but barring, you know, most of the time nobody bothered using. And it wasn't until we made the transition to Media Center that people in the house would then start to use it, and the kids would be happy with it, and like you said, the wife would use it, and that is a major factor when you do an installation like this.
Right, exactly. You know, it's I don't have to get phone calls from my wife, you know, all day long saying, what do I do now? What do I do now? What do I do now? It's just, you know, okay, it doesn't work, reboot it. It'll fix itself. Yeah. So after using that for quite a while, actually, you know, then version 2005 came out, which was a major improvement over the original Media Center.
So it's about this time you were getting involved with the Windows Server, and I was going through your sort of doing the research on you, and I noticed that you're a member of WindowsBoston.com. So what's that about?
Right, WindowsBoston.com is a Windows Server user group. There's about 2,500 members of it right now. It's a very, very large group. There's only one group in the U.S. that's larger, and believe it or not, that's in North Carolina, which until somebody told me, I didn't think we had that many, you know, server professionals. So I got involved with the group a few years back. I think it was probably about 2002. I was just a member. I started going to the meetings because there was always, every month was a new subject, a new topic that I didn't know anything about. And I said, yeah, you know, I've always wanted to learn that, or if I've never even heard of that, I'll go see what it is. So I started going to these meetings, and I started getting more and more involved in the group. I ended up on the board of the group, was going to the board meetings. I was on the board for probably about 2 years. The president of the group at the time decided he was going to move on to bigger and better things. And he became the president of BUG, which is the Boston User Groups, which is sort of the umbrella group of all of the local user groups. There's a, you know, a big website that has a list of all the local user groups, and that's the Boston User Groups website. So he went on to that, and they decided to have a new election, and I made the mistake of getting up to go to the bathroom. I came back, and I was president. So that's how I ended up in that position. As I like to say, you know, you come to a board meeting, you can't get up and walk away because you'll have no idea what you'll be in charge of when you get back.
So this is a group for sort of professionals working with Windows Server, and it's kind of a way of, like you said, presenting new things and sort of working together on things and sharing information, I guess.
Yes, and also we have usually the way the meetings work, and this is the way the when I made the home theater PC user group, I formed it after the way that the Windows Server group works, whereas the first presentation is usually a technical presentation. Where, you know, it could be about Active Directory, it could be about file systems, or it could be about backup strategies, things like that. And that would be the first hour. The second hour would be a vendor presentation, where the vendor comes in and displays, you know, some new product, whether it's software or hardware, and it somehow fits into the Windows Server world. Now, the way the Windows Server group works is because, you know, there's, in a business, it's not just servers. There's workstations, there's desktops, there's laptops. So we kind of integrate everything in. You know, there are also Windows desktop user groups, but we try not to interfere with their territory. That's more like a home, personal kind of use. We only do, like, the business level kind of stuff. So, anyways, one day, there was a couple of questions while I was doing a demonstration on something else, where these topics came up about different video, and actually I think I believe it started when people were talking about Verizon Fios. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that in the UK. Verizon Fios is fiber optics to the home.
Right.
Excuse me. where it's all integrated. You have your internet, you have your TV, and you have your phones all integrated onto fiber optic into the home. And, you know, people were starting to say, you know, how are they doing this? How are they, you know, how are they getting TV and phone and video and internet over this single little cable? So I started talking about, you know, how, you know, the video files can just be sent over a network, you know, quite simply. You know, it's just converted to an MPEG file. It's just a data file. It's a data stream. It's not a problem at all. And that brought up the subject of Myth TV and Media Center to the group. And I said, if you guys never heard of any of these, you know, it's basically, you know, TiVo on steroids. And probably about 20 of the people in the audience came to me afterwards and said, we want to hear more about this. You know, this is really cool. I never heard of it. I've never seen anything like that. You know, you have a TiVo, but I didn't know you could turn your computer into one. So a couple of months later, I packed up my home system, which made my wife pretty mad. She couldn't watch TV that night. My system is completely integrated with my home theater. So if I take my media center away, you know, she has to use 17 different remotes now to change channels. So I packed up my system and I brought it to the Windows Server group, and I did a demo. And after that, I had about 50 people coming up to me going, you know what, we should start a new group. And that's how the Home Theater PC User Group started. So, you know, now I have a small group. There's only about 50 members, but, you know, it's dedicated to Media Center, Myth TV. It's basically any home theater PC-related. You know, we occasionally talk about sound systems or speakers, but that's not the focus. The focus is on PCs and how to integrate them into a home theater system.
So the people that had never seen it, the user group, I guess, were amazed by the power of Media Center and the complete lack of advertising from Microsoft.
Right. They were blown away. And if you've ever seen, you know, some of the prepackaged software that comes with these, you know, the media cards, you know, the tuner cards or the video capture cards, the video quality is not really all that great. They didn't really seem to do a fantastic job of trying to get the quality. Whereas when you take that same card, you put it into Media Center, and you can't tell the difference that you're watching, you know, not watching it on a TV. That, you know, especially like, you know, a high definition program, you know, the quality is almost identical.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially, you know, when it's coming through in the UK over DVB-T, it's digital anyway. So there's no sort of conversion of analog to digital and back to analog. It's digital all the way, and it is like you said, you can't tell any difference really.
Right. Well, you guys are lucky. You do have the DVB TV.
But no cable card.
If we Yeah, right. If we want high def, I'm lucky. I don't live very far from Boston. I live about probably about 40 miles from Boston. So I have this enormous antenna on my roof, which is, you know, it's kind of going back in time, where I'm picking up all my digital digital TV off air, off an antenna on my roof. You know, and everybody comes by and go, "You have an antenna on your roof?" "Yeah." "Don't you have cable?" "Yeah, I have cable." "Well, why do you have an antenna?" "Well, because I want to be able to record high def."
You know? So what's available over the over antenna then? So you, first of all, is it a digital signal, a bit like the DVT?
Yes, it is. It's a totally digital ATSC standard. It's what's available. There's in my area, there's probably about 30 channels that I can pick up off the air. They're all digital. Actually, the United States is now requiring that by 2009, all broadcast is digital for television. Not all of it is high def. Only the national broadcasts, you know, your Fox, your NBC, your CBS, those are, a lot of the stuff is in high def. But the local channels, your local news, your local TV shows and reruns and stuff like that is all standard. But like I said, I probably get about 30 channels and probably about half of it is high definition.
And of course, like you said, you can record all those directly in Media Center, no DRM, nothing to particularly stop you recording.
Nothing at all. No, nothing at all. It's just, you know, it's just stick in a card and let it go.
Yeah, which is essentially, I suppose, how my media center is using DVT. It's not true HD, but certainly it's just an aerial connected to a digital card in the PC, and away it goes, and it just records everything. And it's a nice solution. It's much better than using set-top boxes and IR blasters and all that kind of complexity.
Well, I still do have those. I still do have, I have two satellite dish boxes that are connected with IR blasters, and they're coming through on S-Video, and they're going into a couple of Hop-Hog cards. But that's because there's you know, a lot of channels that I can't get off air. You know, your Discovery, TLC, Sci-Fi Channel, which is, you know, my favorite channel, of course, as being a geek I am. So for that stuff, I still have to get off of a dish.
And can you have one Media Center PC with the ATSC and recording via the S-Video from the cable stuff as well, or have you had to split that into two boxes?
No, they're both. I actually have, right now, my media center has gone through numerous changes, and it's time to change the box because it actually can't keep up with the high-definition playback. It stutters and it skips, but it's because it's a very old motherboard. When I originally bought that motherboard, it was for the Myth TV system, which doesn't have, you know, nearly the hardware requirements that Media Center does, unfortunately. I guess that's the one place where, you know, Myth TV does excel. So the hardware requirements are far less. But originally I started out with a single Hop-Hog S-Video in with an IR blaster, and that was it. And I said, yeah, that's fantastic, but, you know, what if I want to watch one while I'm recording something else? So I added a second card. So now I had two Hop-Hogs, you know, with the S-Video in going to my – I bought another satellite dish. I had the satellite company come down and run another cable. So now I had two, and I said, you know, that's great, but I can't get high def. So then I went out and I bought an ATSC card. So now I had two standard defs and an ATSC, which is, the high def. And then it became four. So then it was two standard defs and two digital TV cards in there. As you can imagine, the heat started to build up in that media center. So then after that, when I started having heat problems, I actually started having hard drive failures, and I was having video card problems with major, major heat problems. I bought this, enormous case with, a million fans in it. It's surprisingly quiet. I actually went water-cooled on a lot of stuff. And then recently, there's been two companies that have come out with hybrid cards. There's Hop-Hog, which has the HVR 1600, which is basically a PVR 250, which was the card that I originally had in there. It was the S-Video card married to an ATSC tuner card, so it actually is a they don't like to call it a hybrid card. They call it, it's a dual tuner card. One is standard definition and one is high definition, and they can both record at the same time.
Right.
So I took out, you know, I took out my PBR 250 and I took out one of the ATC cards, ATSC cards, and I put in my little 1600 and that dropped it down to three cards. And then recently, another company called VistaView came out with another with a card that was very similar, which it also had, you know, a standard definition tuner and a high definition tuner built into a single card. So that's the other two cards came out and got replaced with that one. So now I have two cards in there recording four programs.
And does that work straight away out of the box, or is there any tweaks that you need to do in MIDI Center to get that to work?
No, there wasn't. Media Center out of the box does support four channels. There are some tweaks that you can do to get up to eight. I haven't tried that, and I think that's a little overkill even for me.
But at some point, you're gonna want to at least try it, perhaps.
Eventually. But that, like I said, that motherboard just couldn't handle it. I think that that motherboard would just toast if I tried that.
So out of the box, you've got your two standard definition and your two ATSC high definition channels. So you're getting four programs to be able to record simultaneously.
Right. And when I have tried that, when I actually have tried to record four programs, you know, first of all, the hard drive light is just solid red, and the picture does skip and stutter a bit, but it's not as bad as you may think. Yes, it can do it. I don't recommend it, at least not with the hardware that I have.
So you've got your MIDI Center machine hooked up, got your four TV capable devices on there. Have you then got other devices connected up, like extenders and other PCs connected to that main MIDI Center PC?
Yeah, I do have an extender on it, and actually I have two extenders. I also have one in my daughter's room. She has it up there. She, you know, there's a Xbox 360. I found that the extenders actually do a far better job of decoding the video than the Media Center does. I assume that's because, you know, the extender software and the hardware on the 360 is just, you know, really designed for video output, whereas, you know, a Media Center is a PC they were trying to force to do high definition video, not really designed for it. The other day I was actually watching a football game that if I was watching it on the Media Center itself, it would be almost unbearable. It would be skipping, it would be stuttering. There'd be a lot of lapses in video. The video would just, you know, sort of stick still for a while. On the extender, it was absolutely flawless. The picture was perfect. There was no skips, no stuttering. So, you know, basically it's just the video is being streamed right from the hard drive to the extender, and the extender is doing all the work, which takes all that work off of the Media Center.
I think I can see that as definitely as a direction to go. I mentioned previously on the shows before, my Media Center PC is very rarely used to actually watch TV. It's sort of at the back of the living room, whereas the Xbox 360 is connected up to the big TV, and that gets used all the time for Media Center. So I can sort of see that way of extenders, especially when the version 2 extender hardware come out.
Right.
I can really see that driving sort of the Media Center away from the home theater, perhaps, as the main box and the
as a media server. Yeah, media server would be the way to go. Myth TV does that. Myth TV is actually, if you have a single Myth TV box, it actually does two different processors. There's the Myth TV back end and the Myth TV front end. If you're using a single machine, it's doing both those jobs. If you have two machines, you can have one main machine that is doing nothing but back end. It's doing recording and it's doing scheduling, and then you can have any number of front ends, and the front ends are doing all the decoding and they're not actually doing any recording, so they actually do a far better job of playing the video back because they're not doing all the recording and encoding at the same time.
And so do you think, you know, going to your home theater PC user group, is the extender technology going to have an impact on the way that you know, people look at putting home theaters in? Because traditionally you've got your AV rack and you have your PC in there and it's in your home theater, and you know, you've got perhaps a Windows sorry, you've probably got a mouse and a keyboard connected to it, and then you fire up Media Center. Are we going to see sort of a move away from that and more people looking at hardware extenders?
I think that's the way to go. You know, a lot of people want their living room to be clean. I mean, isn't that the whole point of, you know, the flat panels on the wall and the speakers built into the wall and the tiny little surround sound systems? It's to, you know, people don't want to see, you know, back in the old days when I was growing up, you know, in the 70s and 80s, it was all about, hey, look how much stuff I have. Isn't this cool? Look at all this stuff. You know, I have this, you know, monstrous stereo system, and I have, you know, it's Harman Kardon, or it's, you know, Bang & Olufsen, and now it's like, you know, it's all about, can you actually see my stuff? You know, if you don't see it, I'm cool, you know? It's all about hiding it now. Nobody wants to see it. You come into a cluttered room, you want to see a blank white wall with a big screen TV stuck on it. And, you know, you don't want to see the speakers, and, you know, you just have, you know, a single, you know, a Harmony remote, or, you know, maybe one of the fancy, what's that brand? You know, the big touch panel remotes.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean, yeah.
I can't remember the brand.
I'll have to look them up after the show.
Yeah, I actually looked into those, and they start at about $3,000, so that was out of the question.
Okay.
But, yeah, I mean, and that, I think that's the way to go. It's all about, you know, having, you know, your big screen TV on the wall and a single remote that runs everything.
Mm.
Obviously the extender is the way to go. Make it as small as possible.
Yeah, and I guess that also, though, with that you could have people that go for the small form factor PCs, and we, like, the, you know, the Cube PCs and
right,
and those kind of, or even just the slim low profile PC cases that you can put in that look like an AV component.
Right, yeah, and there's a couple of really nice ones out there, but the problem with those is that they are very small and, you know, one tuner, and that's about it, and that just won't work for me.
yeah, exactly, I know what you mean, and I think that's where the kind of a missing piece within the Media Center system that people ask for is sort of the software extender, isn't it? So you could have your big mother PC sat in a cupboard somewhere recording all this content, and if you don't necessarily want an extender, you want a PC, you can got some sort of software extender that would do that job.
Yeah, I really do wish that Microsoft would do a software extender. It would be nice. The hardware extenders, so far, what I've seen, will do the job, but I do wish that they would come out with a software one, because I have some old hardware kicking around that I could build one pretty simply.
Yeah, it would be nice to at least have the option, and so, you know, to have a multifunction device. For example, I've got a sort of a laptop with a broken screen, and that's in my kitchen now, and sort of under the counter with a monitor on top of it, on top of the counter, so that, you know, it's a workable Media Center PC in there, and I can watch recorded TV, but I just can't get live TV working exactly how I want it, and a software extender would do that job for me.
Right, yeah.
So it's just that kind of missing piece, but I'm sure Microsoft have heard the request before, so...
I'm sure they have. They've heard it from me a few times.
Yeah, so hopefully... and we should, while we're talking about that as well, one thing that we haven't sort of mentioned, or we mentioned briefly at the beginning, was that you're an MVP, Most Valued Professional, and awarded for your sort of Media Center community work. So how did you get that?
Although I had heard of the MVP program, I never really pursued it until one day I got a call from Tyler, who you know. Tyler is the Media Center MVP liaison to Microsoft, and one day I got a call from him, and he said to me, hi, this is Tyler from Microsoft, and I just wanted to let you know that you've been nominated to be an MVP in the Media Center group. And I asked him, I said, Tyler, who put me up for that? Because I never really had any, I wouldn't say interest in it, because there's always interest in it, anything that's, you know, that kind of an award. But I never really, thought that, I would actually get it. Mm. He said, well, I don't really want to tell you who did it, but I will tell you that there were six different people who put you up for the award. And so I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. I have to find out who those people were and thank them. I did find out a couple of them. A couple of them for the Windows Server user group, and a couple were from the Media Center group. but I never did find out who all of them were.
And that was kind of for the work that you were doing within the community around your home theatre group, and like essentially promoting Media Centre to the Boston area.
Yeah, right. You know, like I said, a lot of the people who had never heard of Media Centre, you know, you start to hear about it now. You see the commercials for HP talking about, oh yeah, you can buy a Media Centre, you know, laptop or computer, and people say, yeah, that's great. What is it? I've had a couple of people, you know, who come over to my house, and I say, you know, this is my Media Centre, and you know, they'll say, well, you know what, I have Media Centre on my computer, but you're the first person I've ever seen that's actually using it for what it's made for. You know, most people, you know, don't have a spare computer, you know, and that's you know, I guess that's probably what keeps people from building one, but they don't. Most people don't understand what they can actually do with a Media Centre or a home theater PC, you know, where you can actually, you know, they say, well, isn't that just a TiVo? You know, can't I build it, you know, buy a TiVo for $300? You know, why am I going to spend, you know, $1,000 on a computer with Media Centre? And I said, yeah, but, you know, I have movies, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with the plug-in, My Movies.
Mm-hmm.
I have My Movies on there. I have, excuse me, probably about 30 of my favorite movies that are stored on there. I play them on demand. I have gigabytes upon gigabytes of music on there. I have all kinds of my digital pictures on there. I have digital video, home video, stuff like that, you know, vacations. And when I start showing them that stuff, they're absolutely blown away. They had no idea that you could do this.
Yeah, I think it's things like the pictures, like you mentioned the pictures there. One of the things that you know, a lot of people always impressed with when I show them off Media Centre is, you know, I like to put some music on, a music playlist, and then put a slideshow on.
Oh, right, slideshow with the soundtrack, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And the way that I've mentioned it previously on the show, but the way that the sort of the graphics come up and it shows you what's playing, and, you know, you've got friends around and you can kind of pause live TV,
yep.
Switch over to doing that instead, and,
yep.
You know, it's a great conversation piece, and I know that... you know, I've had previous guests on the show that have mentioned about, you know, you can actually select the photos of the people that you, you know, you can select a photo slideshow of the people that are visiting your home and get them really impressed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's just stuff like that you can't do. And one of the things that we've featured on the show quite a lot recently is home automation. It's just things like that it's just totally impossible to do with separate.
Sort of, oh.
Well,
yeah,
you can do with separate devices, but you've just not got the integration, have you?
Yeah. Have you seen LifeWare?
Exactly. In fact, LifeWare was on the show previously, so you know that it is impressive product, and I've just been looking at M-Control version 2, and there's so much stuff out there.
Yeah, actually, you know, one of the user group meetings, we had LifeWare come in and do a demo, and everybody was just like, wow, that is just so cool. We actually created a macro for LifeWare, and we called it Beer, and it was a macro that... if you were watching a movie or, you know, a sports event or something, you could hit the beer button and it would pause the live TV and turn on all the lights between here and the refrigerator, and you could go grab your beer and come back and sit down and then hit the play button.
Excellent. Now that's something I definitely need.
Yeah, I was, you know, that absolutely blew the crowd away. You know, they were all like, you know, they thought it was hysterical, and you know, the guy said, you know, of course I did this as a joke, but I just wanted to show you what you can do.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things I talked about with Mark McCall from automatedhome.com a while ago, is the fact that you can have things like RSS feeds for weather that your PC can then download those feeds, integrate that
right
into your home automation, so it'll make sure you've got the right temperature set on your thermostats, and it can control different things, sort of environmental things, using the power of the PC. Combined with these home automation events, so you're not just it's a dumb box. It actually is an intelligent thing, getting information from different sources.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess that these are things that you can show off at the user groups, where a lot of people probably think of a home theater PC as just being, you know, something as a glorified DVD player.
Yeah. Or in a glorified DVD player, or an expensive TiVo.
Yeah.
They don't understand. It's so much more.
And do you find then that the... I suppose your group is PC-focused anyway. Do you find, though, that other, especially our home theatre enthusiasts, sort of frown on having a PC in a home theatre rack?
Yeah, a lot of them, you know, look at that and say, well, I don't want a computer, you know, in my home theater rack, or I don't want anything that looks like a computer. But, you know, as we discussed earlier, there's a lot of computer cases out now that don't look like a computer. You know, they actually look like a theater component, and the smaller the better. But I think that's, again, that's where the extender is going to come in. You know, it actually looks like it belongs in your home theater system.
Yeah, and then you can locate your PC wherever you
want. Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm sitting right now. My home theater PC is actually sitting in my office in the back of the house, nowhere near the TV.
Mm. And one other question I wanted to ask you as well, the people that aren't using PCs in the home theater racks and not using sort of extenders, how many of you find out that are just using that as a permanent media center mode and never touch sort of a keyboard or a mouse, and it, you know, it is just a media center unit?
I'd say it's probably about 50-50, at least in my group. In the group, you know, I've really kind of have pushed the, you know, make this a, you know, an appliance where that's what it does. But, you know, a lot of people, again, they say, well, you know, I can't afford to have a computer that's just sitting there, you know, streaming TV. So they have sort of a multi-purpose, and, you know, it's, you know, they go back and forth, or, you know, they're watching it at their desk, you know, where they're it's their work PC, and they have Media Center maybe running in a window, and they're working on something, you know, in the background.
Yeah, because I've always found that just, you know, even though my Media Center PC is more acts as a server, it's a lot more reliable if I keep my hands off it. And as soon as I start doing stuff with it, that is when invariably I crash it while it's recording my wireless program.
Absolutely. And you know, as being an MVP yourself, you know that we get a lot of beta software. And sometimes you look at it and go, do I really want to try that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I have to be kind of disciplined now, and there's perhaps a good proof testing of some of these applications, because obviously I talk to a lot of people that do development, media center development, and I do like trying all these different plugins, but I have got a separate test machine that I use for trying those now, and only a few make it onto the live media center system, just for the exact reason, you know, you just can't keep stuffing things on your main system.
Right, yeah.
But I mean, media center in the home theater is an excellent solution, and I think user group like yours showing off of how you can use your PC in that environment is an excellent way of sort of educating people of what the potential is. And how do you find then that, you know, you've got your core user group that obviously know about the benefits? How do you find then you can spread your message beyond your core users?
Well, that's actually been the problem. I mean, I've had the same 50 or so members, you know, for almost 2 years now, and I've been trying to grow, but there's just, you know, most of those users either came from BLU, which is the Boston Linux users, or, you know, from the Windows Server group, and, you know, we're trying to get the word out there, but it just doesn't seem to, you know, where Microsoft really isn't pushing Media Center, which, you know, upsets me to no end. You know, there's a lot of people who know about Myth TV, but, you know, when they find out that our meetings are actually held at the Microsoft office in Waltham, Massachusetts, they're going, well, you know, how much are they actually going to talk about Linux, you know, at the Microsoft office? And Microsoft has actually been extremely understanding about that, and they tell us that, you know, as you know, we're constantly talking about Media Center, they don't care if we talk about Linux.
Mm. Yeah, I suppose that they're probably interested to hear the feedback from the different community sides, so, you know, the Linux guys of what they feel the benefits are, and whether that some of that information can then, you know, help improve Windows Media Center.
And the problem that we have with, you know, with the Linux users is what a friend of mine calls is ABM. You know, they have an ABM attitude, which is anything but Microsoft, and they just won't set foot in the building. Yeah.
I can see what they mean, but. I guess then you've got people who are the opposite with anything except, you know, anything with has to be Microsoft.
Oh, everything has to be Microsoft. Yeah. If it's not Microsoft, it's not worth anything. Oh, yeah. We get those too. And they don't like when I talk about Linux. But, you know, I do, because I try to keep the group as agnostic as possible, you know, I will be talking about Media Center and say, you know, Media Center can do this, but to be honest, Myth TV does a better job of it. If this is what you want to do, you want a Myth TV box. If, you know, you want ease of use, if you want, you know, your wife to be able to reboot it, Media Center is the way to go. If you want to record 75 channels at one time and not have massive hardware, with TV is the way to go. You know, so it upsets some people, but you know, hey, you know, I try to be honest.
And it's good to have a balanced view of things and be able to see the whole picture anyway.
Yeah, it's like I said, I try to be honest, and I try not to push one product over another.
And so if anybody is in the Boston area, where's the place to go to find out more information about both user groups?
Well, you can go to bug.com, bostonusergroups.com, excuse me, which is the umbrella group I discussed about earlier, or the Windows Server User Group you can find on windowsboston.com, and the Home Theater User Group is htpcug.org. It's HomeTheaterPCUserGroup.org. It's just the initials, htpcug.org.
Do you then get in contact with other home theater user groups in other regions, so, you know, for different areas of the country?
Actually, as far as I know, there aren't any others around here, at least in this area. If there are, I'd love to talk to them. I've asked Tyler to put me in touch with a few people, because I'm always looking for vendors to show off their stuff. That's been another problem with the group, is that vendors look at the group and they don't have any interest in coming and demoing product. We've actually had Sony come in and talk about their digital living system. If you've seen that, that's fantastic, with the 200 disc DVD changer/burner. Yeah, unbelievable machine. Excuse me, and we've also had Hopog come in, and as I said, we've had Lifeware come in. But for a majority, I've been trying to get other companies to come in, like NVIDIA, ATI, VistaView has actually, given us some product to demo, but, they don't want to come out. A lot of it say we just don't have the budget to send somebody out and discuss, and show this stuff, or, that's what shows are for. That's what we go to shows. If you wanna see the stuff, go to the show. And I said, well, that kind of defeats the purpose of you coming to, a group that this is what we want to do. You go to a show and it's a hardware show and you can find anything. Yeah, but the media, people coming to a media center group, they want to see media center products. I mean, it's always been, kind of a two-edged sword of having the media center group, where they think it's kind of a group that they're not going to get any response from, but it's also a group that's dedicated to exactly what they do.
They're going to pay money for focus groups, and you've already got one.
Right, exactly. It's always kind of amazed me that they have no interest. I mean, NVIDIA has never returned a phone call from me.
I guess the big companies like that, though, they tend to miss the smaller picture of these little things that adds up to the whole bigger picture.
Yeah, and whereas Microsoft has really stepped up. I mean, they give us the room, they give us the facilities, they pay for a lot of stuff for us, which is I can't thank them enough.
Well, that's really good that you're getting support from local Microsoft office.
Yeah, and that's where we meet. Like I said, we meet at the local Microsoft office in Waltham.
I mean, I think the whole idea of the home theater sort of user group is a great idea, the HTPC kind of area, and getting sort of people together, like-minded people together. And I think the stuff that you've been doing, your user groups, is a really good idea. And it's definitely been nice to see more user groups pop up over a period of time. So many thanks for your time today.
Chatting
to you. It's been nice just having a general chat. Sometimes we have specific topics, and sometimes we kind of just want to kick things over. So it's nice to talk to you today. And I'll include a link to the sites in the show notes if anyone wants to get in for more information, and they can get in touch with you about joining the user group.
Yeah, great. And I know this will go out too late for tonight, but tonight's meeting is actually on My Movies and Web Guide, which I'm sure you're familiar with both of them.
Yeah, which are both excellent products, and it's interesting to see what happens with Web Guide. That's been one of my favorite programs, but now Doug Barrett, the developer, is working for Microsoft, to see that gets sort of more development or
and unfortunately
disappears.
Being very hush-hush about what he's going to do.
Yeah, I've been interested to see what happens with that, but it is definitely one of my favorite programs, and certainly the thing that's got me out of trouble many a time when using my mobile phone.
Oh my God, I forgot to record my program. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's the most vital piece of tool for Media Center almost. when you're out and about and you think, oh God, I've not recorded something, and especially when your wife says to you, you did reset it to record, didn't you? Of course I did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, can I do that from my palm? Oh yeah, I can.
Well, many thanks for your time today, Pete. I really do appreciate you taking time out of your busy day, and it's been great talking to you.
Thanks, Ian. It's been great talking to you. Have a good one.
Thanks to Pete. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Please keep those coming in. Don't forget the forums and the Media Centre Show award nominations. Links for all the things we talked about in the show notes. Thanks for listening. I do appreciate you listening. I'll see you next week. Bye. We'll be right back.